We're in the midst of Sfirat HaOmer, and we want to know what exactly is this Omer and why for 49 days I have to go out of my way and count every day, and what is really happening in the time of the Omer. Now, we hear all sorts of different explanations and theories, but I want to know practically what is this Sfirat HaOmer. And very few people really take the time to say, wait a minute, I'm obligated in counting now the Omer, but what's behind it? And just by saying today is the first day, the second day, the third day, if I don't know really what's going on, then I'm kind of missing the point. And we want to learn why we do things, because if I do something without knowing what am I doing, there's doing it like a parrot or like a herd, there's no point to it. Now, the Arizal explains that Sfirat HaOmer is the root of my entire Avodat Hashem for the entire year. Meaning that my entire Avodat Hashem, my service of God, is rooted in those 49 days. That if I take that serious, then it will manifest into my entire year. Now, really what the time of the Omer is considered days of doing tshuva, of days of fixing, what's called tikkun amidot. And we mentioned that many times, that one needs to fix their attributes, their character traits, it's called tikkun amidot. And this is the time to do it. This is the period. And this is really the purpose of creation. Hashem put us in an imperfect world so we can make it perfect. If Hashem wanted to, He would put us already in a perfect world. But He said, no, I want to put you in an imperfect world that you will need to refine it. I will give you all the tools, all the options. Now I want you to refine it and I want you to work on it. And this is the time that I have to do it. The time of doing all this tikkun amidot and preparing things is the time of Sfirat HaOmer. And really, what it means, refining the midot, is separating between the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. That's all it boils down to. What is good, what is bad. Because my entire service of God is based on one thing, is sifting between the good and the bad. That's it. This is the secret of the tree of knowledge, Sod Etz Hadat, that it has good in it and it has bad in it. And I have to constantly know, this is kosher, this is not kosher. This is permitted, this is not permitted. This is pure, this is impure. That's my service here. And it all boils down for me separating between the good and the bad. And this is rooted at the time of Sfirat HaOmer. Now, if we want to go just a little bit into history to find out what was happening during Sfirat HaOmer, the commandment was that on the second day of Pesach, they had to sacrifice a certain sacrifice on the altar. But this was a different type of sacrifice. It wasn't an animal. It was coming from grain. And I mentioned many times that in the near future, when Mashiach is going to come, at some point we're going to stop having sacrifices. Now, when I mentioned that a few times in classes, I got different response saying, what do you mean? We know that we're going to do sacrifices when Mashiach is going to come. How can you say that we're not going to have sacrifices when Mashiach is going to come? So first of all, in the first period when Mashiach is going to come, we're still going to have animals. But in a later stage, when Mashiach is going to be here, we're going to continue sacrificing in Beit HaMikdash, but it's not going to be animals. It's going to be vegetation and inanimates. So, and in a later stage, we're even then not going to have. But there are different types of sacrifices that are not an animal. And this is called mincha. Mincha is a certain offering, and that was done with wheat and with oil or barley or whatever it is. So in this sacrifice that is called Omer, that was instructed to them to do on the next day after Pesach. And this is called Minchat HaOmer. Mincha is an offering, but it's a certain type of sacrifice. And the name of it is called Omer. And this is coming from a vegetation, because the Omer is barley. Now, Usually the mincha that comes from the vegetation was wheat. This is a different type of offering, and it comes from barley. And how they used to do it is they used to take the barley, and they used to, not exactly sift it, there's a certain word in English, in Hebrew it's called lenapot. Then they used to use 13 of them to sift the barley to make the grain out of it. And the 13 sifters, of course, corresponds to the 13 attributes of mercy. But that's what they used to, how they used to make it. Now, the uniqueness of this offering was that, first of all, it was from barley and not from wheat. That was the first thing. The second thing is that the Kohen had to do a very odd motion. And this is called tnufa. That the Kohen had to elevate the sacrifice and take it up. And this is called tnufat ha'omer. He used to swing it. And that's different between all the rest of the other sacrifices. And that's what they used to do in the Beit HaMikdash. This is called the sacrifice of the Omer. Of course, we don't do it right now. Soon Mashiach is going to come. We're going to continue doing it. But till Mashiach is going to come, we don't do that. But that was the sacrifice of the Omer. Now, that's the historical explanation. But we want to talk today about something more mystical, more of a Kabbalah explanation of what's going on in Tzvirat HaOmer. And before we start, there's a big question that we have to understand. Because the commandment in the Torah is that you have to count 50 days. ותספרו לכם 50 יום. It says very clearly, count 50 days. But in fact, we count only 49. So what is the mistake? Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. He wrote 50 instead of 49. How can it be? Because it clearly says that we have to count 50 days. And in fact, we count 49. So in order to understand that and to understand how is that connected to my practical work, I have to understand a very basic thing that the Arizal explains, that Hashem created the world in a certain way and He governs the world in a certain way. He controls the world in a certain way. If you are able to observe what and how Hashem is controlling the world, you will understand where He's, so to say, coming from. And the parable for that that the Arizal gives is that a king controls his country a certain way. By the way that he's running the country, you can understand what's his intentions and where is he coming from. Now, I'll give you one example. Go 100 years back. Look how the government in Russia controlled the country. Communism, controlling. And everything was going by certain rules. So you can kind of figure out what's the heads, where they're coming from. They're not coming from a good place. They're not coming from a kind place. Socialism, they came from communism. And on the other hand, you can look at many different other countries, look how the rules of the country are, you can understand where the head, so to say, of the country, how they want to control their country. Same exact idea. Look at this world, and you'll understand where Hashem is coming from. You will see what and how Hashem is controlling the world. So, Hashem has many different ways how He controls the world, how He runs the world. After all, He created it. Now, when He created the world, He created the world with many different powers. But the first thing that Hashem did in order to create the world, He brought down to the world 10 types of lights. Now, this is not a light that you see from a light bulb or a light from the sun. In Hebrew, a light is called or, and or comes from the word he'ara, to enlight. So Hashem, first thing that He did, He brought down 10 motions that are called 10 sfirot. Now, sfira, we mentioned that in the last class, it can be translated as counting, like sfirat ha'omer. But sfira also comes from the word sapir. Sapir is to enlight. So Hashem used 10 different types of lights, or godly revelations, to create the world. And each one has a different character. Different motion, different energy. Now, to kind of relate, what does it mean light? Because when you say the word light, you right away picturing a light bulb, or a flashlight, or the sun. If you go 20, 30, 40 years back, how they used to project movies, with a projector. And they had these three beams of light green, blue, and red. And these beams of light somehow would project on a wall, needed a wall. That's how it was in the olden days. You probably, some of you remember, there was a projector and it had to project on a wall. And without the wall, it wouldn't project. But it needed those beams of light. For whatever reason, however they figured out the technology to do that, they were able to transfer the data in the film to the wall through beams of light. But if you would look straight through the beams, you wouldn't see anything. If you would look on the wall, you would see what reflects. Only if you would look in the projector, you would see the lights. So take this analogy. And these are the lights, so to say, that Hashem projects on the world. To look in the lights, you can't. You can't look and see Hashem. You're not going to see these lights. But you can see what it's projecting on. If you're looking through the path between the projector to the wall, you don't see the lights. We're looking at the world, we don't see anything. But we can look at the wall, so to say, and see what's projecting on the wall. So the same idea, Hashem created these 10 lights that are called 10 sefirot. And this is the first thing that Hashem created. Now these 10 sefirot are Chochmah, Bina, Da'at, Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. 10 sefirot. Some read it a little bit different, and we mentioned that a couple times. Instead of Chochmah, Bina, and Da'at, they would read Keter, Chochmah, Bina. But either way, it's the same idea. 10 sefirot. There's different opinions how to explain it. The right way is that Keter is above the sefirot. Keter is a crown. It surrounds the sefirot. Therefore, the top sefirot will be Chochmah, Bina, and Da'at, and Keter will be like a crown on them. Keter is a crown. Now, everything comes from these 10 sefirot. Now, when I'm as a human being created, and my soul operates in a body, it will operate through these 10 channels. So when I'm thinking, and I have some type of intellect, right now you're sitting and you're understanding something, it means that the light comes from the sphere of Chochmah and allows you to have some type of wisdom to understand something. And when I'm doing now a charitable act, and I'm going out of my way to help somebody, then a light from the sphere of Chesed, of kindness, is shining in me and, so to say, giving me the energy to do it. Now, when I'm now refraining myself from lying or from stealing, and it's very hard for me, then I'm getting this enlightenment from the sphere of Gvura, and so forth. Now, these 10 sefirot, they are divided in three groups. The first group is called Chochmah, Bina, and Da'at, and the acronym for that is Chabad. The next three is Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, and the acronym for that is Chagat. And then the next set is Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and this is called Nehi. This is how it's divided into three groups. Now we're left with one sphira that is called the Malchot. And that doesn't have a group to it right now. Larizal explains that each one of these three groups that I just mentioned, Chabad, Chagat, Nehi, each one of them has 10 sefirot in them. So in the group of Chochmah, Bina, and Da'at, now merge them all together, that will have 10 sefirot in it. In the group of Chagat, Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, merge them together, they will have 10 sefirot. And the same thing with Nehi, meaning that I have 30 sefirot in this structure. This is off the subject, it's not so important. Now, going from below to above, the lowest set is Nehi, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. These three, when you merge them together, that's the source of our emotions, what's called Regashot. My emotions, and not only my emotions, also my inclinations, it's all coming from that group. Now we're very emotional people. We have positive emotions and we have negative emotions. I have happiness, and on the other side I have sadness. I have joy and excitement, and I also have anger and jealousy. I have all these emotions. I'm driven by my emotions. And we are very emotional beings. All my emotions and my desires, my inclinations, are all coming from this group that is called Nehi, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. Now, the next set, which is called Chagat, Chesed Gvura Tiferet, this is my intellect, my sechel, my thoughts, and this is a much higher level in my creation, which we also are a being of intellect. Animals, for example, they have emotions, but they don't have intellect. You can see sometimes a dog is happy. You can see on an animal if it's happy or not. You walk into the home and you have a dog, it will jump up and down. It shows to you happiness. You'll take its food, it will show you its anger. So animals, they have emotions. Excuse me? Cats? Plants, no. This is only... In essence, yes. In essence, everything in creation, even inanimate, will have these three groups. But you won't see so much in a plant. You know what? You're actually right. Sometimes you will see in a plant that it's blooming, growing a certain way. But I don't want to sidetrack from the topic. I rather more concentrate on us as human beings. I'm just comparing ourselves to animals because, unfortunately, some of us behave like animals. And also we have a lot of character traits of an animal. So, and that's why we have it only because we possess a nefesh be'emit. We don't have what's called a nefesh tzimchit. We don't have a nefesh that a tree will have. But we do have a nefesh that comes from the source, from the chair, comes from on the chair of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are four corners. So there's a face of a man, a face of a bull, a face of an eagle, and a face of a lion. So in each corner of the chair, it manifests into the world and it affects us in a certain way. So the nefesh ha-bemit, and all the kosher animals, they come from the face of the pnei shor, of the face of the ox. So, but I don't want to sidetrack from our topic. The point is that we are as creatures, we are emotional creatures, but we also are intelligent creatures. We are very easy to learn things, and we also have the desire to learn. As opposed to an animal, they have emotions, but they don't have any intelligence. I mean, some might argue and say, yeah, but you see that dogs can be trained, and you go to a circus, and you'll see elephants dancing, and bears juggling. So yeah, there is some type of level of intelligence that you can train it. But it's not the intelligence that of a human being that can develop something. That's a total different type of intelligence. A dog cannot develop something. It might be able to be trained to run backwards and forth and do a trick. But a dog cannot sit like this and start developing now an iPhone. That is up to us as human beings. So these two sets, the Nehi and the Chagat, the Nehi, Netzachot Yesod, is my emotions and my inclinations, and the Chagat, the Chesed Gvura and Tiferet, is my intellect. Now the third set, which would be counted as first if we go from above, which is Chabad, this has nothing to do with me. And I will never reach that level in my life. And it's not that we can't, we just don't. Because this is a type of revelation that only the neshama can experience. The revelation of Chochma, Bina, and Daat. And very few individuals in history, maybe like Avraham Avinu, or Moshe Rabbeinu, or Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, would be able to receive some type of a glimpse from Chabad, but not to gain it, not to possess it. So the third set, I'm saying third because I'm counting from the bottom, which is Chabad, Chochma, Bina, and Daat, this we have nothing to do with it. I do have the option of getting some type of a glimpse or enlightenment from Chabad, but that's it. And this is saved for our neshama. This is where our neshama will get what's called La'atid Lavo. When Mashiach is going to come, that's already a total different level. That's why when Mashiach is going to come, we will get He'ara from Chabad. Something similar to what Adam and Chava had in Gan Eden, that they were able to see Elokut, they were able to see godliness, and they were able to receive these godly revelations from such a high place. Up until then, we don't have that, and we're not going to have it. The patriarchs, they had what's called a He'ara, a glimpse, a quick visit, and out. We don't have that. Excuse me? Even the Arizal and even Moshe Rabbeinu and even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, they had a glimpse, a he'ara. but not to possess it. Right now in our life, we possess in us these attributes. But from Chokhmah, Bina, and Daat, maybe if we really refine ourselves, we can get a short spark, and that's it. But in most cases, normal human being has nothing to do with these three midot. There are patriots, or like you said, the Arizal or Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, even then they couldn't possess it. They had a glimpse from it. Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, it was known that he had a glimpse from the sphere of Chokhmah. But this is just for us to relate. He would like put in his hand, see what's going on, and come out. So, excuse me? By having a little glimpse in it, then he would be able to write something about it. Yeah, so that just goes to show you what's waiting on the other side. If Moshe Rabbeinu just took a glimpse of 40 days and wrote the entire Torah, what type of godly revelation the Neshama gets? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was sitting in the cave for 13 years and he wrote the depth of the book of the Zohar. That's 13 years. Imagine what the Neshama experienced in the world above. So neither one has, nobody, till Mashiach will come, has possession of Chokhmah, Bina, and Daat. They can have a He'ara, a revelation, a glimpse, but not more than that. Some might have more, some have less. Not us. Don't think you have it. Don't wish to have it. We're not going to have it. We have to wait for Mashiach to come. Or if Chas v'Shalom, somebody leaves the world and reaches already his level in Gan Eden, he might get a certain glimpse. But this is what's called La'atid Lavo. We want to concentrate now on the two other ones that we have. No, don't need to dream now on something we can't have. Let's be practical. Now, mainly what I need to do in this world is I need to correct and to refine the first set of Netzach Hod and Yesod. That's what I'm here for. And that's my emotions. My emotions, my desires, my inclinations, and so forth. My feelings. Now, in this group of Netzach Hod and Yesod is, yes? Where did I get this information? From about 5 different types of books. If you want, I'll give you the source after the class. But this is mainly the teachings of the Arizal. Excuse me? This is mainly coming from the teachings of the Arizal. Uh-huh. Some of it is from the book called Shara Kavanot. There's many different books, but it mainly comes from the Arizal. There's one great sage, a very big Mekubal, that it was about 100 years ago. He's called the Leshem Shvova Halama. This is the grandfather of the Rav Eliashiv. He's about 100 plus years ago. He was a very big Mekubal. He has a few books. One of the books is called the Leshem Shvova Halama. It's a Kabbalah book. There are many different books that when one would read the book, probably most likely won't find so much knowledge in it, but when you connect everything together, if you have the ability to digest it and to give it over, that's why you come to the class, so you get the information already chewed on, and you don't have to go through the books and try to figure it out yourself. But it's mainly coming from the teachings of the Arizal. And all the books that are after that made by some of the disciples of the Arizal, it's based on his teaching. And we have access, Baruch Hashem, we have access to these books. And one that has a little bit of knowledge in it and more of the enlightenment of that teaching can understand and explain it. If you don't mind, maybe we'll do the questions at the end, unless it's on the topic.
Yes, of course it's on the topic. You said that we are here to just perfect or work at the emotions. The first set.
Yes, not only to perfect, to rather to fix it.
Yeah. Nothing but with the intellect.
Wait.
Is that what you said?
Wait. First, let's start with the emotions. Now we have to see what we need to do here. To jump ahead of what, to kind of quickly answer you, if you're talking about the intellect as Chokhmah, Bina, and Daat, then we have nothing to do with Chokhmah, Bina, and Daat. If you're talking about the intellect as Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet, then yes. And I'm going to get to that very soon. But first we need to understand Excuse me. Some people think that they are in the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and they're doing all sorts of tikkunim and yichudim in worlds above and they're living in some fantasy. The reason I'm saying that is not to chas v'shalom make fun of somebody. It's just I'm just telling you because of the types of emails that we get of questions that people think that they are in a different galaxy. So it's important for us as human beings to know who we are and what's our place in the universe, and not to think that we're hovering over the land like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We're here to correct and to refine this group of midot that is called Netzach Hoden Yesod. This shiur, we're not going to have much time to dissect what does it mean to correct the Netzach Hoden Yesod. Now we're going to have now, Baruch Hashem, another 5 weeks of the Omer to go in many three different classes to understand what is it. Mainly today what I want to reach to understand is that my entire year I have to correct my midot. I don't have a break. I mentioned that so many times that our main avodah in this world is tikkun midot. We have a course that we started. We had to stop because of Pesach, but we started a course of tikkun midot. Because this is my main avodah in this world. Tikkun HaMidot is refinement of character. And I have to learn Torah, I have to follow the Torah, I have to do mitzvot. That's air and food for my neshama. If I will segregate my neshama from Torah and mitzvot, it's like me putting myself on a diet right now. Or holding my breath. The same way that I'm not going to hold my breath, or not going to fast now for a week, I should not put my soul on a diet. Meaning that I have to provide to my soul food and air, which is Torah and mitzvahs. But my main avodah in this world is to refine my character. So Hashem will put me in this world with a lot of good things, but He will also give me a few bad character traits. And maybe a problem with anger, maybe a problem with sadness, maybe a problem with the gava, with pride, jealousy, all sorts of things, holding grudge, the midot, there's a whole list of them. And some of us have to refine 10 of them at the same time. But that's my avodah here, which means that's what I came to do here. Now I have to do this 365 days of the year, not only in a certain time. Now, when do I get the education, the energy, the power, the abundance to take it for the rest of the year? In these 7 weeks of Sfirat HaOmer. Now here is the root of it, but I want to apply it to my life, that every day of my life, I will work on my character traits that need to be refined. So if I was born a person with a lot of anger, it can take me 60 years to work on my anger. And I think that I can work on it in a year, I can't. It takes people years to work on their character trait. And if I'm very judgmental towards other people, that can take me 20, 30, 40 years to work on it. And that's what I need to do. That's what I came to do here. And I'm giving a few examples out of many. Each one needs to realize in themselves what are the character traits in them that they have to refine. One person can be very cheap. One person can be overly generous. That's also not good. You have to evaluate and see what you have to work on. Now, in order for me to do that, I need tools. I need to understand where it's coming from, how I need to do it. But that's the main thing. That's the main avodah in this world. It's called tikkun midot, and that's refining, fixing, and elevating my midot that come from Netzach Hoden Yesod. And in future classes, we will more dissect what does it really mean. Today, I'll touch just one thing. But first, I have to understand that. This has nothing to do with my mochin, with my intellect. This has to do with my emotions. Like I said, we're very emotional people. I can be your best friend, and if you're going to say something that I don't like, you're going to hurt my feelings. And if you hurt my feelings, this can start World War III, because you hurt my feelings. And why did you say that? And how dare you say that after what I did to you? And I can't believe it's coming out of you. And what did I say? I just said something simple. But I'm overly emotional, so I'm taking it to a different level. So again, this is one example out of many. I want to now get first the awareness what's going on in order for me to fix it. If I now need to fix something, I need to take it first to be tested. Then I can get a description. This is the problem, now start fixing. So I need to refine my midot that are grouped in Netzach Hoden Yesod. Now, in the Netzach Hoden Yesod, there are two sides, good and bad. That's it. This is what's called Sod Etz Hadaat, the secret of Tree of Knowledge. The Tree of Knowledge is a mixture of good and bad. And everything in this world is mixed with between good and bad. When Mashiach is going to come, he's going to take the bad away and delete it, and then we're only going to be left with good. So we're going to know right away what's good. Here in this world, everything is mixed together. You can take now two apples, and I can tell you, one apple is good, one apple is bad. On the outside, they look identical. And on the inside, one can be completely rotten with worms in it, or one of them can be from a tree that was planted only a year ago, and this is called Orla, and I'm not allowed to eat it. And this is a bad apple, it's not a kosher apple. But on the outside, it looks exactly equal to the other apple. So in this world, there's some type of power of deception that will confuse me what's good and what's bad. Now this is a very superficial example, but there are a lot of things in my day-to-day life that it's very hard for me to know if it's good or if it's bad. Right now, I want to help this person that is putting his hand out. In my mind, it's very good to help him. Look at him, he's putting his hand out. But how do I know? Maybe he's going to take the money I'm going to give him and buy drugs with it. Or maybe he wants to buy ammunition and kill somebody he hates, and he's just pretending and putting his hand out. I don't know. I'm just giving two extreme details. And this can happen on my day-to-day life, that people say, how should I, here's a situation, how should I treat it? How should I look at it? So the secret that lies in this level is that it's mixed between the good and the bad. In this level, there's always good and bad. I can have an emotion of happiness, and it can be a very positive emotion, because I'm happy because you now got engaged, or you had a child, or you made money, or something, and I'm very happy for you. But I can also be very happy when I see somebody suffer. And we just commemorated yesterday the day of the Holocaust, and some people, I don't have to call them people, but they would be happy, and they would laugh and be joyful when somebody else was slaughtered, being slaughtered or tortured. This is the same motion of happiness. But this is a happiness, I'm happy for you because something is good. It's a very positive happiness, a positive emotion. And I can be happy for something very, very negative. I can see somebody now, unfortunately, fall on the street and hurt themselves, and some people find it funny. And they get full of laughter. This is an emotion of laughter. Now it's very popular. Now the most popular videos out there are people falling and accidents happening. And people find it funny. So I have the same emotion of happiness. One is positive, one is very negative. And the same thing with anything. I can have the emotion of hate. Now I can hate an individual for no reason. This is called Sinat Chinam. This is one of the worst things I can do. But I can also hate the Yetzer Hara that's coming to tell me to do a sin. Or I can sit now in a group of people and they're all gossiping about another person or making fun of another person, and I can hate this whole meeting. So every emotion has good in it, has bad in it. And it's a mixture. Now I have to refine it and to elevate it. How do I do that? Is I have to elevate the group of Netzach Hoden Yesod into the highest group of what's called Chagat, Chesed Gvura and Tiferet. I have to elevate it. That's what I need to do. This is the concept of Tikkun HaMidot. And this is done during Sfirat HaOmer at the most. Now what does it really mean to elevate the group of Netzach Hoden Yesod into the level of Chesed Gvura and Tiferet? Is to dissect in my sechel, in my mind, if my emotion right now is good or bad. If my happiness right now is a good happiness, a positive happiness, or a negative happiness. That's the concept of elevating the lower group into the higher group. Nehi tu chagat. So again, going back to the examples that I gave you, I can have a motion of happiness, and the happiness can be a very positive happiness and can be a negative happiness. Right now I have to use my intellect to say, is this a positive happiness? No, it's not. And to cut it right where it is, to uproot it. or to say, yes, it is a positive happiness, let me make it even more happy for you. And so forth, and you take these two examples that I gave you, and you can already develop it to whatever type of example you have, because you constantly, all day long, have emotions. So, you can, you know, pass a day, and you will feel a certain emotion, and you need to right now stop this emotion and say, where is this emotion coming from? Where is this inclination coming from? From a good place or from a bad place? If you did that, and you were able to define if it's negative or positive, you just now elevated the midah to the higher group, to Chagat. And this is the general term of Tikkun HaMidot. I just took a midah, an attribute, and I refined it. Because I was able, instead of like an animal impulsively do something, I was able to stop, think about it, and then apply it. That's why we mentioned in the last class about the parsha of Shmini, when it's talking about the kosher animals, that the kosher animals has two signs. One of them is a split hoof, and one of them is chew its cud. If you joined us for Friday, the Shabbat meal, then you heard my son saying at Dvar Torah that the split hoof, it represents, the split hoof is like two fingers going into two directions. This represents that if I'm coming from the side of severity of Gvura, I should also serve Hashem in the size of Chesed. And we both come, we all come from different sides. Which means I constantly have to serve Hashem. He said it, he's 8 years old. He didn't say it in that terminology. He said you should serve Hashem with the things you like to do and serve Hashem with the things you don't like to do. So the split hoof represents that I also have to do things that I don't like doing. But the chewing of the cud, that means that one needs to dissect and think good before he does something. Like the animal, it swallows it, spits it out, chews it more, swallows it again. Then I'm presented with a situation. Instead of impulsively reacting, I have to think. Should I answer back right now? Should I answer with anger? Should I answer with a smile? What should I do? You have to dissect it. The concept of elevating and refining the Netzach Hoden Yesod into Chesed Gvura and Tiferet is thinking, is taking my sechel, my intellect, and using it to right now, I should make an analogy if this emotion is positive or negative. And that is it. This is the point that I need to concentrate. The Arizal explains that the entire time of Sfirat HaOmer is that's what to do. And that's why we have 49 days that we count and not 50, because the 50th, that's already when you refined it, that's already the Sfira of Malchut. You don't need to, there's nothing to work on in the Malchut. Malchut is just receiving. Therefore, I have 7 times 7, even though I count Malchut Shebechesed, Malchut Shebegvur, I still count it. But I go by these 3 groups that I define, and therefore I will have 7 times 7, and it's 49 and not 50. Now, where are we connecting it to the sacrifice? Because sacrifice, when you tell a person a korban, a sacrifice, you're right away picturing a priest slaughtering a cow or a bull or a sheep, skinning them, taking their body parts apart and throwing it on the altar. That's what you think when you're talking about a sacrifice. A barbaric ritual. Really, a sacrifice is the sacrifice that I have to give. Because a sacrifice comes from the word lehakriv. Lehakriv means to bring somebody closer. Sacrifice in Hebrew is korban, but it comes from the word lehakriv. So I have to sacrifice something for me. When I do something that I don't want to do, that's a sacrifice. And you know what? Right now you said something very annoying to me. I want to answer back in the exact same level, because I want to show you what I have. And for me, closing my mouth, that's a sacrifice. And this is one example out of many. Almost anything that I do that I don't want to do, going back to the example of the split hoof, some things I like doing to serve Hashem. I like eating a Shabbat meal because I'm starving and the food is great. So I like eating the Shabbat meal. And you know, I like doing all sorts of acts because maybe it's my nature, maybe I'll get honor. It's very easy to serve Hashem when it's easy for me. But I also have to serve Hashem when it's not easy for me. That's the sacrifice. So when it's talking about the sacrifice of the Omer, Minchat HaOmer, We have two types of sacrifices. We spoke about the vegetation sacrifices, which will very soon when Mashiach is going to come, that's what we're going to be left with. So I have one sacrifice comes from barley and one sacrifice comes from wheat. The Omer is the barley. The wheat, that is food of a human being. And barley is food of an animal. The food of the human being, the wheat, that corresponds to the higher group, the Chesed Gvura and Tiferet. The barley that corresponds, it's an animal food, that goes on the Netzach Hod and Yesod. Means that even the type of sacrifice that they used corresponded to the level of their offering, or where they were holding. Therefore, since in Tzfirat HaOmer, they were working on elevating the Netzach Hod and Yesod, even the sacrifice had to come from a completely different place, which was barley, which is a much lower level. It's a level of an animal. That's what animals eat. And the wheat is a more refined type of grain, which the humans eat it. That comes already from my mochin. So we see already a connection. The point is that the title of Sfirat HaOmer is to elevate my emotions to my intellect, and to operate through my intellect and not through my emotions. And that's where I operate for my mind, not for my gut. I don't react fast. I don't get offended fast. I don't get angry fast. I don't get angry because it's in my mind. Why should I get angry? What good am I going to happen right now if I'm going to get angry? Is anything good going to happen? No, I'm just going to be upset. And I'm going to have a headache and I'm going to scream all over the place. And what good would it do? Would it make change the situation? No. So I have to take my emotions and elevate them to my intellect. And then you would see that if you do that, 99% of your emotions, they don't come out to fruition. You don't become sad. You don't become angry. You don't become jealous. You don't become judgmental, because it's already dissected in your intellect. This is the title of what is the Kabbalistic work or explanation, what we need to do during the Omer. Now, to kind of define it in something more practical, and then the rest we'll do in future classes. Every day, there's something that is called a Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is a contraction. That in order for Hashem to create the world, He created a contraction. Now what is this contraction? A remove, a siluka o. Hashem created this light, like I said before, and then He had to remove it. Now He didn't remove it, because then the world would not exist. Rather, He concealed it. And this is called tzimtzum, that I don't see it. Now every day we experience one type of a tzimtzum. Sometimes it's by you not finding your keys, like today in the morning when I was late, the keys disappeared. But the keys were on the table. For half an hour, where's the keys? Everybody's turning the whole house upside down. And then the keys are right in the middle of the table. Just need to move one ball. This is one type of a tzimtzum, that I'm looking for something and it's right in front of me. Tzimtzum is a removing or removing the ability to see something. So every day I have some type of a tzimtzum. Now today, the keys disappeared and caused me to be late. Every day I am experiencing one tzimtzum. Me, you, everybody. I need to understand what is this tzimtzum. Now sometimes it would be lack of parnasah. I don't have parnasah today. Puts me in a lot of stress. One time I can't find a place to live. One time I have an argument with my wife. Every time will be some type of a removement of the godly revelation that causes me to go into some type of stress. And this stress will right away trigger an emotion. So when I lost my keys today, I didn't lose the keys. They just disappeared. I just came down. Where's my keys? The tzimtzum that it caused is not the not finding the keys. Is the anger. Wait a minute, I'm going to be late now. People are waiting. I can't open the door. How am I going to get this? How am I going to get that? So this is an example of how one tzimtzum causes some emotion to get triggered. Now, during Sfirat HaOmer, this is when I get the ability to start defining all these tzimtzumim, to be able to know how to relate with it and how to deal with it. Now, it doesn't mean something's wrong with me. If today I have to challenge anger, now, not every day you get upset. Once in a blue moon, somebody did something extremely annoying, you got upset. Today you have to work on the symptom of anger. You have to be ready for that, like a trained soldier that you have to be ready for. Okay, today it's anger. When you wake up in the morning and you say Modeh Ani, you don't notice it, but a little piece of note, something like this, little note, whoop, falls from above. And you just need to open the note and be like, oh, shoot, today it's anger. The problem is that we just don't see the note. But every day, there's a little email in your spiritual inbox that tells you, today you're going to have to deal with frustration, or with sadness, or with anger, or whatever it is. Just that we don't know, we have to figure it out. That's why we say Birkot HaShachar, and in Birkot HaShachar we're asking Hashem to enlighten me and to give me guidance. The point is that every day will be some type of a tzimtzum that will trigger an emotion. Sometimes it's 20, but let's pretend it's a nice day, then it's 1. I need to know how to deal with it. Now when I'm relating during Svirat HaOmer to all these tzimtzumim, I'm able to know how to deal with it. And this is the time when I can start refining them. And when I later on, a month from now, 2 months from now, deal with one tzimtzum, I will know how to deal with it. I will know how to work on it. The point I want to take from that is that these are the 7 weeks. I mean, we passed already almost 2 weeks. These are the 7 weeks that I pull out this koach, this power, to be able to know how to refine my emotions and to elevate it into my intellect. That my entire life, I'm operating through my brain, my moach, not through my emotions. That's what it all boils down to. And this is the time when it's condensed, and I can actually refine it. So when I'm working, for example, and I say, just for the sake of the example, Gvura Shebativeret, then that day I need to pull out the tool to be able to deal with that type of emotion, that when it triggers 4 or 5 months down the line, I know how to calm myself down and be like, okay, no, that's how I need to deal with it. The point to take from that is I need to concentrate on the fact that my avodah, my daily avodah, is to elevate my emotions into my intellect. And this is the time when I fish it out, I bring it out from the source. And Bezrat Hashem, in the next couple of weeks, we will talk a lot more of how to do it, how to recognize it. What does it mean Netzach? What does it mean Hod? What does it mean Gvura and so forth? I hope we'll be able to do it in the next couple of weeks. If not, we'll just continue after that. But today I just wanted to draw a general idea of what we need to do and start digesting that. That the point is that every day I need to be focused, how am I elevating my emotions into my intellect, not letting my emotions explode. Needless to say that when you reach to that level that you know how to control it, you're not going to be depressed, you're not going to be angry, you're not going to be sad, you're not going to be having anxieties, you're not going to be all confused and lost. Why? Because it's all going to be digested in the mind and not in the emotions. Because the emotions tend to drive us to all sorts of different places. Needless to say that they're very destructive. So Bezrat Hashem, this should serve to us as a little bit of a guide and an eye-opener for what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. And Bezrat Hashem, we will dissect it more and we'll talk about it more. That will give us much more tools to be able to operate in the near future till Mashiach comes.